down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 down the page there on the back, because I've got 5 points that I'm going to share with you today. And we're in this series called The Double Blessing. We started this last Sunday. It's based on a book by Mark Batterson. And this is the book. You can get it on Kindle as well. It's a great book. I've already read it. And that's kind of our theme for this year is The Double Blessing. And basically how to get it and how to give it. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. But I want to start off with something. Can somebody turn me down just a little bit? I feel like I'm a little hot up here. Mic hot. I'm hot too as well. I'm not hot. Well, Jada thinks I'm hot. Maybe I just need to stop now. Yeah, thanks, Rhonda. Rhonda's over there. Just stop. Okay, I'll just stop now. That didn't come out right. To get back to the double blessing, I was thinking about the Steerwalt family, the Steerwalt family being here today to dedicate Little Stockton. And I'll never forget this as long as I live, Kirk. But Kirk had asked me to come and bless one of his steers that he was going to take to Colorado. This has been years ago. In fact, I think it was when we were still in the building downtown. And so I was like, okay, you're a redneck pastor when you go lay hands on a steer and bless a steer, right? And so I'll do that. And so I'm a country rural pastor. So I go to Kirk's house, Kirk and Julie's, out here on Highway 34. And he's got a barn out there where his steers are at. And I can remember crawling in there with this steer, laying my hand on this steer, and my hand just sunk into its fur, or its hide, I should say. And I was like, golly, this. And it was so pretty. It was all cut out. And I was just like, man, Kirk did a good job on this one. If I was judging, it would have been grand champion right there. We wouldn't even have to went to Colorado. But Kirk wanted me to bless this steer. So I had this blessing that I prayed over the steer, because this steer was going to travel to Colorado, go through all this. And it got real serious in the barn and in the stall. Got real quiet. And then the family was all standing around the fence there. And I'm in there with this steer, and I'm praying. And I close my eyes. Okay. I've learned since then to pray with your eyes open. But I close my eyes, and I'm praying, and I'm into this prayer, and I'm blessing this steer that's going to go to Colorado and win grand champion and all this. And all of a sudden, I hear this plop, plop, plop. And I finally said, amen. I hurried up my prayer real quick, and this steer, you got it. You got the number two right there in the stall. And Kirk, it was real quiet. It was still quiet, and everybody's just kind of looking at each other like, what do we do now? And Kirk goes, boy, Mark, you know how to bring the peace of God. And I'll never forget that. So you can bless steers, by the way. You can bless anything you want to. All right. This is, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 6 and Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And I've said that, and hopefully Stockton will not do that to me here in a little bit. I just thought about that. All right. The double blessing is before what we learned last week when we went to the book of Genesis, we found out that before the fall in Genesis chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 1, God made man and woman, Adam and Eve, and the Bible says the first thing that came out of his mouth was he blessed them. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. And so before original sin, there was original blessing, and so life is. So you want to renew your mind to think of God this way. God is for you. He's not against you, and God wants to bless you. God loves you. He's a great father. So blessing is God's most ancient instinct. It's his default setting. It's his first and foremost reflex. And if you don't believe that, then what's going to happen to you is you're going to doubt the goodness of God in your life. And I don't want anybody doubting here today. Any theology that starts with original sin and not original blessing is false theology. Blessing is the heart of our Heavenly Father. All right, and so we're going to do a little recap of last week. And God wants to bless you beyond your ability to ask or imagine. God has blessings in categories you cannot even conceive of. And usually we think of blessings in health and wealth, and it is. That's a byproduct of God's blessings. But the blessings of God are so much more than that. We're going to learn that here in just a second. Blessing is a decision to make, a habit to form, and a mindset to establish. We're going to learn how to get it, how to get the blessing of God, and then how to give it away. So God doesn't bless us to raise our standard of living. God blesses us to raise our standard of giving. and you are blessed. And God wants you to give not just of your treasure, because that's where immediately we go with our money, but he wants you to give you of your time and of your talents as well. You are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed to bless. The way we turn a blessing into a double blessing is by flipping the blessing. Look at somebody and say, flip it. Okay? All right, that's how we get the double blessing. And this is what the blessing is not. The blessing is not good luck. And everybody said, amen, okay? If you see somebody that's blessed, I promise you it's not luck. It's because they've put in the work and effort and been responsible for what God's already given them beforehand. And then you see the blessings on their life. So it's not luck. Number two is the blessing is not health, wealth, and prosperity. Now, before you shoot me down, those are byproducts of the blessing. But let me tell you some other blessings that's not just health, wealth, and prosperity. Joy is a blessing. Even when you have all kinds of chaos going around you and you have joy, that's a blessing. Peace, even when you have chaos going on around you and you have peace. Contentment. Healthy relationships, those are all blessings of God, all right? And so is health, wealth, and prosperity. Blessing is not zero gravity, and what I mean by that blessing doesn't mean that you don't have any problems, because we all have problems, right? We all go through things. The blessing of God will complicate your life, and what I mean by that, when we read last week we talked about the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, and when it says that they were faithful over what God had given them, the Bible says that God multiplied it to them or doubled it or gave them more. So I use this little analogy where they didn't go after God blessed them, they didn't take a vacation and say hashtag blessed, right? It meant God gave them more, and what that meant was more work, more responsibility. And the deal of blessing is not zero gravity or no problems. Is what the blessing of God does in your life is when you have the blessing of God over you, you're underneath an umbrella. Okay, God's protecting you. Now, there's all kinds of chaos going all the way around you, and you're going to feel it. You may get wet, the storm, you know, and all those things, but you're protected by God. And everybody said, amen. Okay, so I'm just kind of doing a little recap of last week. And last week, we really dived into Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26, the blessing. Our praise team sang that song, The Blessing, today, and I love that song. And the blessing is this, and we always close our services with the blessing, and I've got kind of an extended version that I read over you guys. But God, this is it's not just a ritual, it's not just an incantation. This is a prayer that God told Moses and Aaron to speak over his people. And he said, when you do this, when you speak it like I'm telling you how to speak it over my people, you're actually putting my name on them, is what this means. And so in Numbers 6, verses 24 through 26, it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And so we learned last week that the Hebrew word for bless is baruch. Got to get that tongue roll in there like a Jewish person, a Hebrew person, all right? Baruch. Everybody say baruch. That's the Hebrew. You learned some Hebrew today. That's a Hebrew word for bless. And the Hebrew language, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, the New Testament was written in Greek, and Hebrew is a very rich language, meaning each word has so many meanings and all that. And so when you really dive into the Hebrew, you can just get lost in studying words. And actually, this word baruch has a sixfold blessing to it. So just that one word bless in Hebrew that God said to speak over my people has a sixfold meaning to it. And so I'm going to go through those real quick. This was in-depth teaching last Sunday that I'm going to go through real quick. So if you want to go back on our podcast, you can listen to the last week's teaching on this. But here's the sixfold blessing. The first one, what it means is to salute. And this is what we talked about, raise the visor. A lot of us, you know, if you grew up in a military home, you know, this is the salute. And they say that where that came from was back in medieval days when there were knights. For a knight to show himself that if he was a friend or a foe, he would raise his visor. And to that person, to the other knight. And so what I want you to get a mental picture of is when God speaks a blessing over you, he is saluting you, and he is raising his visor to you. And basically what he's saying is, I see you, I know you, and by the way, I'm a friend and I'm not an enemy. I'm your friend, not an adversary. And then the switch to that is we also raise our visor back to God to show him who we are, salute. It means respect and honor. But also we're telling God, God, I want you to know me for who I am, and I'm yours, and know me through and through. I want to be transparent and honest with you. I'm not just going to hide behind my armor. Amen. I'm not going to just put the mask on, but I want you to know me. And so that's that word salute, to raise the visor. The next one, the next meaning of the word bless was to kneel down. And God doesn't just pronounce blessings from on high. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, and we looked at this last week, was that the Bible says he's our high priest that actually came down and dwelt among us, and he knows everything that we go through, and he did it. He went through everything like when tempted in every manner that we were, but he did it without sin. And so he knows what you're going through today. Amen? He knows what you're going through today. And I'll never forget one time I thought I caught God or the Lord. I was like, whenever our son, you know, having the umbrella over us, and we still went through, because we live in a fallen world, and our son passed away back in 1998. Most of you know that story. And I can remember arguing with God, going, God, you don't, I was so crushed, I was so heartbroken, I didn't know if I was going to get over it. My heart, I can't describe the heartache that we were going through. And I told God one day in prayer, I was like, you don't even understand, Jesus, what I'm going through. And I heard the Holy Spirit, didn't hear an audible voice, but I knew enough of the word to know this. The Lord Jesus spoke so clearly to me and said, Mark, I want you to know that my earthly father, Joseph, passed away. And I know the heartache that you're going through, because I was close to him. We worked together in the carpenter shop, and he took care of me all my life. And when God really spoke that to me, I was like, he does know what I'm going through. And I was able to really open up to him. And I just want you to know this morning, guys, no matter what you've gone through, Jesus has too. And he wants to help you and be there for you. And so the kneel down, and that's where God kneels down. And also said he kneels down and plays with us too. He wants us to enjoy life. One of the things that my grandson Jarek does when I come over to his house is he'll go into the living room. He's 2 and a half now, and he'll go in the living room, and he'll get down the floor, and he'll pat the carpet. And what that means is, Poppy, it's WWE time. Get down here and wrestle with me and have some fun. And so God does the same with us. He's like, I want to get down in life with you. I want to help you in life, but I want to enjoy life with you too. All right, here's the third thing. Third thing is to kiss on the mouth. And this really means in that the Baruch, it means mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. It actually goes back to the garden where God breathed the breath of life into man, into Adam. And then in Acts 17:28, it tells us, for in him we live, we move, and we have our being. And so God's blessing is our second wind, our second chance. It's also where forgiveness comes into play here. Freely we have received forgiveness from God. Freely we need to give it to others. And I know that's easier said than done sometimes, but you need to walk in that forgiveness so that you can keep the breath of God going in your life. Because nothing stops the breath of God over your life than walking in unforgiveness. The Hebrew word for God is Yahweh, right? Okay? But English put in the E, the Y, W, and Yahweh, and we put in the E in there, and whenever... That's actually the name of God in Hebrew. When you breathe in and you breathe out. So if you're breathing today, you're praising God with every breath. Isn't that cool? God is so good. All right. Here's number four. The sixfold blessing, to speak words of excellence about. And this means that God wants blessings to be coming out of our mouth. James talked about it in James chapter 3. The power of the tongue, that we need to tame the tongue. The only one that can do that is the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit's help. But we have blessing and curses coming out the same mouth, don't we? And we need to stop that and start speaking words of excellence about people, not just in their presence, but also when you're not with them. And this is Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 25, 11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. I want to be that person that speaks blessings over people and puts wind back in people's sails. Okay, the sixfold blessing, number five, is to make peace. It means in Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. That peace treaty was signed by the blood of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered by an empty tomb. Okay, so God wants you to have that peace, that's part of that blessing. And then the last one, the sixfold blessing, is to cause to prosper. And this means in every area of life, health, wealth, relationships, family, prosperity in every arena of life. And I love this scripture in Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. It says, God gives you the power to get wealth. And so some of you need to be praying for the power. Amen. I'm praying for the power. God, give me the power to get wealth. And God blesses you to increase your standard of giving, not your standard of living. I want you to understand that. All right, now we're going to get into today's teaching, and this is in Ecclesiastes 11, verses 1 through 6. And Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, King Solomon. This is as he's gotten older, and he's looking back over his life, and he gives us some words of wisdom. And he says this, he says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. And I want to say, after many days, I love it when God blesses us suddenly, but sometimes we've got to position ourselves for the long term. And everybody said, amen. Because sometimes the blessings come after many days. Not suddenly or immediately, but after many days of you doing that long walk of obedience in the right direction, then that's when the blessings come. And then verse 2, it says, give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or the north in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. And I'm like, there's not a whole lot of wisdom to that, Solomon. I mean, that's kind of like Captain Obvious right there, you know. That's Captain Obvious. Verse 4 says, are y'all awake? Is everybody, okay, y'all are engaged this morning, okay. All right. Verse 4 says, he who observes the wind will not sow, because that was funny, by the way. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. There's our scripture for today. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. And we're going to talk more about that as we go along today. As you do not know what is the way of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know how the works of God who makes everything. In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. All right, so that's our scriptures for today. And what I want to talk about this morning is God, before we get into this, the 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 of this, this passage, is God doesn't bless. We've got to, let me say it like this, we've got to position ourselves to receive the blessings of God before we can ever give them, okay? And so I'm going to teach you how to position yourself today and also next Sunday, by the way. I'll be teaching this part of this again, how to position yourself. So here's where you don't want to be. God doesn't bless disobedience. He doesn't bless pride or greed or laziness. And he doesn't bless, this is why I said verse 4, he doesn't bless procrastinators or perfectionists either. Okay? You got to starting. Amen? Because here's the deal. I was just thinking about, had I have waited till everything was perfect in my life, I would have never got married. I'd be 53 today or 52 today and unmarried because it's still imperfect, right? And then can you remember when you, I'm thinking about Kai and Hunter this morning. Can you remember when you had your first child, you know, and you're like, OMG, you know, I'm a daddy now and I better get my act together. I can remember thinking that. No more playing around now. I mean, this is it. I'm a dad. I've got to take care of this human being. And so, yeah, it's time to grow up, you know. It's time to grow up and do all those things. So we've got to, and the same thing, you know, God doesn't bless procrastinators or perfectionists. We've got to position ourselves for God's blessing, all right? And sometimes we have to take that step of faith. We just got to go do it. Things aren't going to be perfect, all right? Amen? All right? And you can't wait for the stars to all line up, and now let's go do it. No, some of you're waiting for that. Some of you just need to starting. And everybody said, okay. There's a story in this book, and I'm not going to read it verbatim. I'm going to paraphrase it. There's a story in this book that really jumped out at me, and it was talking about a scientist and a guy that was kind of a DIY guy, do-it-yourself kind of guy. But the thing that they had in common, they were friends. And the thing that they had in common was they liked to snow ski. And so they had this favorite spot that they liked to snow ski at, this one mountain. And one day they were up on the mountain, and they'd gotten some snow. It was in the winter, of course, and they'd gotten some snow. They were coming down the mountain. They was like, man, this is good. This is fun. But there was a cloud hanging over the mountain, but this cloud wasn't producing any snow. It was just a cloud, just low-hanging cloud hovering over the mountain. And this guy, they were coming down, and they was like, you know what would be better is if we had more snow, number one. Wish it would, but it wasn't in the forecast. And so they got to talking amongst themselves, a scientist and a DIY guy, and they started talking amongst themselves. It's like, what if we could seed that cloud so it would produce snow? That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? Yeah, that would be amazing if we could do that. So they come back down, and they start. The DIY guy gets a freezer. He breathes into this freezer to create a cloud. Literally, that's what he did. And then they started doing experiments with different things, seeding the cloud, trying to make it snow. Carrie may know this since she's over here shaking her head. She's our science teacher here at Leedy High School. So she's like, I know, and she probably knows the names and everything. I hope I give this story justice now. But anyway, they're just trying everything. They can't get nothing to work. And finally in their experiments, and I'm not going to get into all of the details of it, but one of the guys, he decides, I think it was the DIY guy, said, well, he's going to go get some dry ice. Well, he came and brought some dry ice, and when he put the dry ice in there, immediately it just produced snow and crystals and all kinds of stuff. And they was like, this is it. This is how we seed these clouds. So when they figured it out, though, it was summertime. So can't do it now. So they had to wait till that next winter. And they said in November, the same kind of scenario happened. There was a cloud hanging over the mountain and all this. And they'd already had this all planned out. And they had a guy that had a single-engine airplane that was going to fly him up over the mountain and fly him up over this cloud. And then they had a whole bunch, I can't remember how many pounds of dried ice they had crushed up, but they were going to throw it into this cloud, dump it over this cloud. They were going to seed this cloud. And so down below, they had told everybody what they were going to do in this community. And so they had a group of people down below watching them fly over this cloud, and they were fixing to dump out the dry ice, and they did. And the people down below said they couldn't see it from the airplane, but the people down below said when that dry ice hit that cloud, it was like an explosion happened, and it covered the whole mountain with snow. And it was amazing. And so what I want to teach us today, and I'm teaching myself too, is I want to teach us how to seed the clouds above us of God's blessings. Now, I don't want this to sound like, oh, Mark, well, we're trying to make things happen. We're trying to manufacture, you know, we're trying to make God do stuff. Well, no, what I'm trying to do is get us in position to receive the blessing. And there's things that you can do to seed the clouds above you. Okay, and here's the first one. Some of these are like, you're going to go, well, dirty dirt, Pastor Mark, and I'm going to go dirty dirt back to you, because we all need to be doing all five of these things that I'm going to be talking to you about. The first one is seed the clouds with prayer, okay? Before blessings ever show up, before anything ever happens, whatever you're believing God for, start seeding the clouds with prayer. Well, maybe it's in your business. I'm looking over here at a couple of entrepreneurs, or several of them over here. There's one, two, three, four, five of them on this. There's more of them in here, but you got to start seeding the clouds with prayer, believing for it. And so this is out of 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 45, and it says, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up and eat and drink, for there's the sound of abundance of rain. Okay, it hadn't rained in 3.5 years, okay? So he is saying this by faith. And verse 42 says, so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees, okay? This guy got in a fetal position. Let me just say this. When you're praying and you put your face between your knees, you mean business with God, amen? So he is meaning business with God. He's like, God, you better show up, because I just spoke for you, and I told this king that there was going to be the sound of an abundance of rain. Verse 43, and it said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. So Elijah is telling his servant, go look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. And what this teaches me is you need to be persistent in your prayer life. Don't give up. Just because you pray one time and you don't see it, don't give up. Keep praying. Verse 44 says, then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Do what? It still hasn't started raining yet, right? And so it now happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So he seeded the clouds with prayer, and he didn't give up when there wasn't any rain, all right? And you might be saying, well, that was Elijah. He was a prophet of God. Okay, he was, yeah, he was, and he was in the Old Testament, and he was just like you is what James tells us in James chapter 5. And here's the other thing that you have that he didn't have. You can pray in the name of Jesus, okay? In James 5, verses 16 through 18, it says, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours, meaning a sin nature, that Adamic nature. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. And we need more people praying for rain right now. And everybody said, amen. Okay, so we seed the clouds with prayer. Number two is we seed the clouds with faith. And so I want to encourage you to do right now. Some of you know what you need to do. There's some of you in here that one of these is going to really jump out at you, and I want you to run with it, okay? I pray that all five do, but one of them is really going to bear witness with you. And so some of you need to seed the clouds with faith, and this just means take the step of faith. Quit procrastinating. Quit waiting for perfect conditions. Take the step of faith, all right? And I love in the book, Mark Batterson, he's a pastor of a church in Washington, D.C., and he said in their congregation, and I love this, and I want to adopt it for us, is their deal is not ready, set, go. It's go, set, ready. And that's how you do it right there, the dunk and dump, all right, as I did to Betty back there, you know, just baptize them and throw them right into ministry. That's how you do it. Go, set, ready. Joshua 3:8 is where it says, you shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant. This was at flood stage, and I did some study on this whenever God told them this. At flood stage, the Jordan River is at least a mile wide, okay? At least a mile wide. Saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. What is God saying? I'm going to part it before you get in it. No, he said, I want you to go take a step of faith and step in it. Then I'm going to part it and let you cross over. So it's taking that step of faith. Luke 18, verse 8, the parable of the persistent widow. I tell you, this is what Jesus says at the end of it, and he's talking about this persistent woman that kept going to the judge until she finally got her way. And he says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Faith has to have persistence with it. That's why you need to be persistent in your prayer. You need to be persistent in your faith, okay? You got to keep on keeping on. Now, I'm going to show you something that I thought this was really interesting, and this is the way I want to live my life, and I pray that you adopt this as well. I want to live my life. I want to lead with blessings, and then I want signs and wonders and miracles to follow me. I want the goodness of God, the mercy of God to follow me all the days of my life. And that just not just here at church or being in ministry, but I'm talking when I go into businesses, when I'm just doing life, and you know, with my wife, with Jada, with my family. I want to lead with blessings and then have signs, wonders, miracles, goodness, and mercy follow me all the days of my life. And that ought to be what we all want. And this is we're to lead with blessing and signs following. This is Matthew 10, verses 12 through 13. When you enter the home, give it your blessing. If it turns out to be a worthy home, let your blessing stand. If it is not, take back the blessing. That's Jesus talking, okay? That's what he said. He said that's where you dust the sand off and move on. You know, sometimes you just need to move on. All right? I just feel the Holy Spirit saying right now that there's some of you in here that are trying to get a blessing where there's not going to be a blessing at, and you need to move on. Sometimes the thing that you got to do is move on. I'm not saying that's for everybody in here, but there's somebody in here that you've been trying to be a blessing and extend blessing and be a blessing and do blessings where you're at, and it's not being received. And I believe the Holy Spirit is saying to you today, it's time to move on, and because you need to go where you're celebrated, not tolerated. And everybody said, amen. Okay, Mark 16, verse 20 says, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. It'd been nice if the signs would have preceded them, you know. Signs go before you, but God's saying, no, they're going to follow you. So you got to take the step of faith. They're going to follow you, all the days of your life. All right. Is everybody learning something this morning? Okay, we seed in the clouds. All right, here's number three, the third way that we seed the clouds. We seed the clouds with humility. All right. And I'm gonna say something here that is gonna sound like an oxymoron, but it's true that you can actually be doing the will of God and God oppose you. And the reason why God is opposing you is because you're doing whatever you're doing for God out of pride, receiving the glory and all that, and God is not gonna share his glory with anybody else. We gotta serve God out of humility. Seed the clouds with humility. And this is 1 Peter 5, verses 5 through 6. It says, likewise, you younger people. Who's all the younger people in here this morning? I am. Okay. Yeah, Tony, thank you. Tony raised his hand. Yeah. Likewise, the younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I need grace, so I'm going to be humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. God's going to do the exalting, and he'll do it in his time, okay? So you just keep being humble. And humility is something that we all need to do, and it's a learned behavior because we're born with this Adamic nature, and pride's got a lot of faces, amen, and selfishness and greed and all that. There's a lot of faces to it. Humility, and I want you to remember this, you may want to jot this down. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is just thinking of yourself less. All right. And there was something in this book that I found very interesting is there's two kinds of people that enter a room. There's people that come in the room and go, here I am. I'm God's gift to mankind. Right. And then there's some people that come through the door and they look around, they go, there you are. There you are. And which one's the humble person? The one that's saying, there you are, right? And did you know that when you go into a room, when you're saying, there you are, the most important thing that you can do for anybody in that room is just smile at them. Your smile is a blessing. And it can communicate and minister to people in ways that you have no idea of. So smile at people. Everybody said amen. Okay. And here's number four. Okay. Number four is seed the clouds with positivity. This is a big one. God is a positive God. Amen. Clark's back here smiling at me. Clark, stop. Seed the clouds with positivity. And here's the deal about positivity, okay, guys? And I know there's a lot of the New Age stuff and the self-help gurus and, you know, but this all originated with God, all right? Faith, you got to be positive to walk in faith. Positivity is functioning out of the promises of God, okay? Let me explain that. There's a story in the Bible, we're not going to turn there, but it's in Numbers chapter 13, and it's the story of the 12 spies that were sent by Moses into the promised land to scout it out, all right? The 12 spies. If you've been in church any length of time, you've heard this story. 10 of them came back with a negative report. 2 of them came back with a positive report. And we all know the two. There are Joshua and who? Caleb, all right? Joshua and Caleb came back with the positive report. How were they able to come back with positivity? Because God had already promised the promised land to them. And they said, we know, yeah, we saw the same thing y'all saw. We saw the giants. We saw all the obstacles that are out there. But God's already promised us we can go take it and overcome it. But, listen to this, 10 people that came back with a negative report, and this is where you need to be careful who you're listening to, they listened to the 10 because they were the majority, and it kept the children of Israel out of the promised land for 40 years. What God said was already theirs. And I love the story about Joshua and Caleb because the Bible says they were of a different spirit, of an excellent spirit. And later in life, they went back in there and they got their piece of it, Joshua and Caleb. And I love that story. And Dusty did a great message here a few Sundays ago about strong and courageous, about Joshua. They were strong and courageous. They made those steps of faith. They seeded the clouds with positivity. Can you imagine those guys had to continue to seed the clouds with positivity for 40 years? Before that ever materialized. So here's what I'm going to tell you. Keep seeding the clouds with positivity because it's going to happen, all right? And I love this about, most of you know this, I bivocational pastors, so I'm a realtor with Moxie Realty out of Elk City, and we try to meet once a month with all of our agents, and so we kind of share, you know, what listings we have and things that are going on. But one of the things that Amy does to start off our meetings is she has us go around the table and she says, I want each of you to share a win, one win. Go around the table and share a win. And by the time we get all the way around the table, I'm telling you, you're just like, I can do this. You know, you're just like, man, I can do this too. They did it. They got through it. I can do this too. I had one under contract for 6 months, and it finally closed. Praise God. You know, that's a win right there, you right? And so, and here's what I want to tell you. She could have said, hey, let's go around the table and let's all share our woes. And by the time we got out of there and we left that meeting, we'd all be depressed, right? Because we've all got those stories too. But we flip it and we say, let's share our wins. Let's talk about our wins. And by the time we leave there, everybody's upbeat, positive, and you've got to celebrate what you want to see more of. That's what you've got to celebrate. All right. It's called the Losada ratio, if you want to get technical about it. It says that you need 2.7 compliments for every criticism. Okay? So basically, you need to be positive three times more than you are negative, basically is what that's saying, okay, to cancel that out. That's just coming to zero to cancel that out. All right, here's number five. Everybody learning something today? This is the last one. And this is going to take us into next Sunday because I want to spend some time on this one, is to seed the clouds with generosity. And this is in Acts chapter 10, verse 2, talking to the story about Cornelius. It says he was a devout man and one who feared God, means he respected God and honored God with all of his household. And I want you to notice how he was seeding the clouds, who gave alms generously, all right? So he gave to other people, to the poor generously, to the people, and he prayed to God always. Seeding the clouds, prayer and giving. Everybody see that? Prayer and generosity. And so he seeded the clouds with generosity. And I'm going to close with this today because I want to go really in depth on all these, and we're going to talk about this more next Sunday. Is grow? We're not born generous. We're born selfish. Okay, that Adamic nature. But generosity is something you can grow in, and you can grow in what the Bible calls the grace of giving. Okay, and here's what I want you to learn is not only just how to receive blessings, but be the person that you say, you know what, God, I want to get to the place where I can flip it, and I want to be the one giving the blessing, all right? And you can start right now. You don't have to wait until you get so much money in your bank account. It's not about money. You can give your time, your talent, you know. There's other ways you can give. You can get very creative with this. And so I wrote down four of them, ways to give, and yeah, there's going to be dollar signs with some of them, but I want you to realize that it's time, talent, and treasure, okay, that you can give to God and give to others. And so number one is give spontaneously. Give spontaneously. I love this story in this book. It talks about a guy that, I'm going to adopt this, is that he had in his billfold what he called a God pocket. And it was just, okay, you have to budget for this. Right? Okay? You have to budget for this, but he was like, okay, I'm going to keep a 20 spot in my billfold so then that way if I ever see somebody that can't pay for their lunch or, you know, or maybe whatever, then I'm going to pull out that God pocket and I'm going to bless them. Have a God pocket. And by the way, okay, it needs to be a 20 spot or more, okay? You know, you want to go up to at least 100 too. 20, 50, 100, okay? And because if you, this is going to go out on the, I'm going to send this to Pastor Steve Havner here. Because if you go below a 20, you're a Baptist or a Methodist. But if you're above a 20, you're Pentecostal, okay? I'm going to send that to my pastor friends here in town. I just had to do that plug there. So have a God pocket. Have a God pocket in your billfold or your purse or whatever. Then it's something that you budget for. You set it in there with Mark. You said, this is, you know, sometime this month I'm going to encounter somebody that needs help, and I've got a God pocket already ready for it. Okay? And that's when giving starts becoming fun, because you're giving spontaneously, you know, when you're helping somebody else out, and it's just a lot of fun. I'm going to tell you something about giving spontaneously, and we'll be out of here shortly, I promise, okay? We got a baby dedication. This giving spontaneously, I'll tell you something that happened to me, and it's been about a year ago probably, maybe longer, and it really hit me right here, got me in the heart, was I was going through a drive-thru. A drive-thru is a great way where you can pay it forward, you know, pay for somebody's meal that's behind you, you know. Yeah, some of you may want to look in the rearview mirror first. No, I just... I'll never forget this. And I've done that before, and I've even done it before this situation happened to me. But I was going into a drive-thru, and my place to go is Arby's, all right? I just love Arby's, all right? They got the meats, right? And so I go into Arby's, and I'm fixing to pull into Arby's, and this big company pickup just cuts me off and goes right in. And I yeah. Y'all have that when you're driving? When I get behind the wheel, it's just like, man, my Christianity goes south. And so I did what I call the full bird, all right? Not that bird, all right? Some of you already went the wrong way, or some of you already went south when I said the full bird. I went, that's the full bird, okay? When you literally use both wings. Like, yeah, like, what are you doing, you know? And I gave him that one. And he whipped on in there, and I was like, you sorry, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that was what was going through my mind. And I was sitting there stewing about it just because one guy cut me out of line of getting my the meats, right? And so I'm sitting there, and I come up to the window, and she was laughing, and she goes, did that guy cut you off back there? I said, oh, yeah, he cut me off really good. About hit me. And she goes, well, he told me to tell you that he apologizes and that he just bought your meal for you. And I was like, you know, got me. All right, so there you go. Give spontaneously. I don't know why I shared that, but I needed to share that. I guess that confession's good for the soul. All right, number two is give consistently. And this means 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, you're never more like God than when you're giving. And so in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, it talks about that when you come to the house of God, you ought to have your gift of giving prepared ahead of time to give. And you do it consistently. You might be saying, well, Pastor Mark, I don't do it every Sunday. I do it every other Sunday. That's great. Whatever your consistency is, do it. Give proportionately. Malachi 3:10 talks about the tithe. Tithe is 10%. So you take, you know, there's 52 Sundays in a year, so you take 52 divided by your you know, what you get it, okay? The 10% of your salary, and then you divide that by 52, and then that tells you what you're supposed to be giving every Sunday, right? And you can break it down like that, or if you give once a month or whatever. I had somebody that give consistently. I think it was Travis, and we're going to be working on this in the future. Sometime this year we'll have it available. He was asking me about, you know, that him and Jennifer, they like, they're givers, they give consistently, and they said, but we would like to have it just automatically drafted out of our checking account, so it's just done. And so we're going to get that available on our website. The give proportionally is 10%. And then the fourth one, and we're going to talk more about all these next Sunday, is give radically. And this means the double tithe, which means 20%, or I'm going to challenge you, reverse tithe, which is you live off the 10 and give 90. And there's somebody in this world that has done that, and his name was J.C. Penney. He did that. Literally lived like that later in life. He wanted to get to the point where he could live off the 10 and give 90, and he did it. And so we're going to talk more about that, about generosity next Sunday. But I just want you to ask yourself, am I generous? Okay? And if you're not, get generous. Amen. Be generous, because you're never more like God than when you're being generous and being a giver. All right. This time we're going to have a baby dedication. And so I want Kai and Hunter. I want the whole family to come up here if you can. Can we do that, the whole family come up here? This is a special moment in this young guy's life. And this is Stockton Haskell Steerwalt is who this is. Look at that little guy. He's a good mix. Yeah, somebody helped take pictures for him and all that. Wait till everybody gets up here. Amen. Got the grandparents here and great-grandparents. Yes, and great-grandparents. Yeah, both of you. That's awesome. Yeah, everybody got pictures, and we got zoomed in back there. Travis will have some of this on. But we're here today to celebrate and rejoice with these parents, with Kai and Hunter, as they dedicate Stockton to the Lord. And this is in Luke 2, verse 22. It says, when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. This is a very precious moment, and as you present Stockton to the Lord, you're coming into connection with God's will for his life. And so I have a charge to Kai and Hunter this morning. Do you promise in the presence of the Lord, your family and your friends and your church family, to do your best to raise Stockton in the love of the Lord, to train him up in the way that he should go, so that he will come into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? If so, say we do. We do. Amen. This is a charge to all of us as a church family, because it takes a village to raise one. Not only takes immediate family, but it takes church family. Do you family, friends, and members of Harvest Fellowship Church promise to commit your time, resources, and prayer to help these parents raise Stockton in such a way that he will come into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and grow to desire to love and serve God? If so, say we do. Amen. All right. So in Mark chapter 10, verse 16, it says, Jesus took the children up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to take Stockton from Kai. Golly. See, I'm a lefty, Kai. No. Yeah. You was a lefty too, wasn't you? Yeah. Look at the little boots, man. That is so cool. Kai, he is precious. All right. I want you to stretch forth your hand, and we're going to pray over this little guy. Amen. Father, we stand in awe of your creation of Stockton. We know that every good and perfect gift is from you above, and that the fruit of the womb is your reward. We know that you have great plans for this young man, for Stockton. There are plans to prosper him and to give him hope and a future, and we excitedly anticipate watching those plans unfold as he grows up. Father, thank you for Kai and for Hunter and for this whole family that's up here today. Thank you for Stockton, God, and we pray that you will bless them as they create a family environment of love that will enable Stockton and other children that's going to come eventually to become all that you created them to be. And Lord, give them your wisdom in raising Stockton. And God, so we bless Stockton Haskell Steerwalt today in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I'm going to tell you, amen. I love it. She is so cute. Oh, my gosh, guys. I'm ready to go take my Sunday nap now. God, he is precious. He is precious. There you go. Amen. So give this family a big hand clap. Proud of you, bud. Love you. Love you, Hunter. You're very welcome. It was an honor. Amen. God is good. And all the time, love it. Love it. Amen. All right, I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. And as the Steerwalt family is going back to be seated, and just want to make sure that everyone here, we do this every Sunday, make sure before you leave today that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the Bible makes it very simple. Very clear that the way we do that is Romans 10. It says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer called the Prayer of Salvation. and to help you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. And it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. I want everybody to stand up. I want you to join hands there if you got family or friends next to you. Jada, will you come up here with me? And I'm going to speak this blessing over you. And if that's the first time you prayed that prayer, your next step of obedience is following the Lord in water baptism. We can do that next Sunday here. Just get with me, all right? I'm going to speak this blessing over to you that we've been learning about. And this is out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. It's an extended version of it. It says, now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. And may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, God bless you. Amen. Y'all have a great week.